Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 6th of September, a new month, a new season, right? Is it now? It's not really fall, but it is sort of fall. We were kids back to school. Took a long time to get into work this morning. All the
school buses abound.
That's right. There, people are back, so we're getting back to normal. Hopefully you had a lovely holiday weekend, and it's good to be back with you. Let me introduce our panel, and we'll get right into it this morning. WAMC's Alan Shartok joins us. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Nice to have you here. How was the big event there on Saturday
night? Oh, it's terrific. A lot of people showed up. I think it was a sellout. The band is greater and greater. Every time we get a different ringer in the band, it gets better.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Rosemary, and I know this only because of her Facebook post, was kind of our ambassador to the Empire State this weekend.
Yes, I was in the heart of my family at my sister's lake house, new lake house on Cayuga Lake in the Finger Lakes.
Very nice.
Seemed like you were making the best of the bounty of this Empire State. I
was tasting cheese and looking at It's a Wonderful Life Museum and delving into the history of the women's rights movement, which
It's a Wonderful Life Museum? Pardon?
Yeah, it's in Seneca Falls. Seneca Falls was the inspiration for Bedford Falls and the bridge where, you know, Clarence encounters Jimmy Stewart is there. And there is this wonderful museum, Zuzu Pitts, who was the little tiniest girl in the family. Right. Comes back every year at Christmas. They have a 5K, which I'm not gonna run it myself, but I'll make a friend do it. All the runners have to wear bells. Isn't that so? It's so cute. It's so adorable.
With all those angels getting their wings,
they do a much better job, I will say, on It's a Wonderful Life than on women's rights. We went to the Elizabeth Cady Stanton House, which is my she's an idol. She's a remarkable woman. Had 6 kids and still fought for a change in the way women could live their lives. And the house is empty and boring, devoid of. They spent more time matching the wallpaper in the house now to what she had then than to recreating anything of the life of what she did.
And telling the story.
Oh,
so I wrote a complaint to the National Park Service.
Is that who owns it?
They run it.
Did you know that Phyllis Schlafly had 6 children also?
So she did. They were totally on different sides, as Phyllis was throughout her entire life.
And we bring her up because she passed away yesterday.
Did.
She's dead at 92. So sad.
Mike Spain is with us. He is the associate editor of the Times Union.
I'm just enthralled by all this, you know. Good morning.
Good morning. Very nice to have you with us. So let us move to topics. Well, what are the Russians doing here, ladies and gentlemen? What's happening here? U.S. intelligence and law enforcement agencies are investigating what they see as a broad covert Russian operation in the United States to sow public distrust in the upcoming presidential election and in U.S. political institutions, intelligence, and congressional officials. Said this over the weekend that they are obviously concerned about this. The aim is to understand the scope and intent of the Russian campaign, which incorporates cyber tools to hack systems used in the political process, enhancing Russia's ability to spread disinformation. And this article comes after a spattering of different stories about hacks into Arizona.
Illinois
was another state.
The DNC, of course. Yeah.
The DNC, and of course the Trump connection to the Russians, as well as to the overall concerns and Julian Assange
connections.
And so there's a lot there. What do we make of this overall? Because now it's being labeled as a campaign.
I've said it before, and at the risk of being boring, I'll just say, once a KGB man, always a KGB man. I think this guy does it because he can. And he's, he obviously has been in the past anyway, very popular with his people. And I think the more he shows these kinds of let's go back to the old days stuff, that they like it. And he doesn't seem to be making any apologies. And there does seem to be really bad blood between him and Obama.
Well,
Who met over the weekend.
That did not go well either. No. They could not come to an agreement about Syria, and Obama was kind of on the outskirts looking at them strangely as the president of Turkey was meeting with Putin. None of this is good for the United States. I have to say Mitt Romney was right. I think that Putin was downgraded in the United States, and that includes by Hillary and Obama as a threat. And he has been nothing but trouble in the Ukraine, in the Baltic states, which are very worried about the same sort of thing we're now seeing in the United States. They're using, he is using the internet in nefarious and skillful ways, just like ISIS, and we have nothing to counter it.
Well, as George Bush said, you know, he looked into his eyes and he was a good man. Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Well, that was a mistake, but this is the kind of campaign similar to the campaign that some Russians believe to be connected directly to the Russian government, but certainly pro-Russian sympathizers did during the whole thing in Ukraine, where the Crimea was pulled into the part of the Soviet Union, and the campaign in eastern Ukraine, which has the pro-Russian forces that are, quote, not connected to the Russian government, unquote. And, you know, the other interesting thing to me was there was an interview with Putin. He did a few interviews over the weekend, and the translation of them says that, you know, it's not important how this information came out about Mrs. Clinton.
Right.
It's just important that the information is out there so people know. He's sort of like defending a free press or something.
It's
or free
exactly
and
what,
open information.
It's exactly what Rosemary would say.
Yeah. And the irony is this is where journalists are imprisoned and the government is even implicated in some deaths of journalists in Russia. I mean,
his genius is that he uses things that are on our side and things that are against us. He has Edward Snowden secreted away as if he is a champion of transparency, hence his quote today. And yet he also manipulates. He has whole factories of people who do nothing but troll the internet and put out material that's favorable to Russia and very negative about especially the United States, but all democratic values.
But the thought that his influence could affect the outcome of a U.S. presidential election is frightening and dastardly.
I would say, Mike, that what's even more frightening is that it could affect the White House if a certain Trump wins. Trump has voiced many opinions that are favorable of what Putin stands for.
From the very beginning.
Yeah.
Right. He talks about how important it is to respect him. And this is the, now you got to remember, I mean, he criticizes the Pope, Donald Trump does, and he criticizes Angela Merkel, who is a great ally of the United States.
Who's also in trouble. She's not doing well in election returns in Germany. Putin, meanwhile, has Trump saying, let's get rid of NATO. They're not paying enough. He's got Crimea, and they'll never come in. He didn't even have that right historically. He made mistakes about that. It's just very frightening that Trump is such a sympathizer with, I think, someone who does not have our best interests at heart.
And while we're on the subject, if you could do your magic with your wonderful machine and MSNBC, as I passed by in the hall, was touting that the election was really quite close right now. I heard the NPR people talking about a close election this morning. I only say it. I didn't mean to change the subject, except that a Putin interference could mean more in a close election than if it wasn't a close election. And so I must say, I'm still reading the New York Times a couple of times during the night, and it still says, you know, 84% for 86% chance that Clinton will be elected, and you know, 14 for the outlier for Trump. So that doesn't sound like a close election. But I'm wondering, is anything coming up on polls that maybe I've missed?
Well, the CNN poll, Joe, right? Did you see that?
Yeah. The presidential Donald Trump polls ahead of 9 weeks out in near even race. This is, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton start the race to November 8th on essentially even ground, with Trump edging Clinton by a scant 2 points among likely voters in the contest, sparking sharp divisions along demographic lines in a new CNN or C poll. Trump tops Clinton 45% to 43% in the new survey, with Libertarian Gary Johnson now standing at 7% and the Green Party's Jill Stein at just 2%. The topsy-turvy campaign for the presidency has seen both Clinton and Trump holding a significant lead at some point in the last 2 months, though Clinton has topped Trump more often than not. Most certainly, Clinton's convention propelled her to an 8-point lead among registered voters.
She's lost a lot of that post-convention bump. I mean, at least half of that jump that she had. She has. Right. Hillary Clinton
as
has,
he lost his when.
Right, yeah. But that's kind of worn off.
I think that the real danger of Putin's campaign, and I think Trump is helping with this, is no matter who wins, this idea that the system is rigged and that people will lose faith in a system that's worked for 200 years. I think that's the real danger of what's coming.
I'm astounded. I don't understand how the New York Times 86% chance.
Well, the CNN poll was a national poll, and that is not an accurate portrayal of things. What really counts is states like Ohio, where all the candidates were yesterday.
Pennsylvania,
you know, in campaigning, in Pennsylvania, in Florida, maybe North Carolina. But Hillary Clinton is actually ahead in Texas right now. There's a lot of states that are in play, but it's very close. And I think the New York Times percentage is based on how she's doing in the key states. You know, she's already pretty much locked up New York and California. So it's a different assessment than just a national poll. If you think about a national poll, then it doesn't accurately reflect what's going on with the electoral college.
The way it actually works. Yeah.
So, and even in the CNN poll, I think 70% of the people polled say they believe that Hillary Clinton will be our next president, which is also interesting.
I really want to believe that she's going to win. I'm texting right now with a friend who I used to think was intelligent on all the reasons that Trump will be a fabulous president, much needed in the United States. And I keep thinking of the polls on Brexit, which were over many of the same issues. It was also about immigration and racism and nationalism. And those polls predicted a small win for staying in the EU.
And it's also, by the way,
that it went the other way.
And it's also, by the way, why Angela Merkel is in so much trouble in Germany right now. It's all about immigration.
Yeah.
It's all about an appeal to nationalism.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Trump's people are doing a good job of having him portraying him as more sane and more stable than he's been during the primary season.
So Hillary's job, seems to me, or her campaign's job, is to take every insane thing that the guy said, make a commercial out of it, and just play them until you drop.
I think that's going on right now.
Exactly.
But the trouble is, that's that kind of thing, you know, studies show that you just hear those over and over and over and you become numb to them, and they don't really have the impact that they would have the first few times you hear them.
There have been four polls that have been released over the weekend. The UPI poll has Hillary Clinton up by 4. The NBC News poll has her up by 6. Franklin Pierce poll has her up by 3. And the CNN poll has Trump up by 2. So there is still a wide range. According to the New York Times, which was updated 12 minutes ago, the national polling average has Hillary Clinton at 44% and Donald Trump at 40%. So however you look at that, it's still a very close race in that particular way. And then we were talking about the averages, right? And I was trying to find the latest number, Alan, of what that was.
You're good. I must say, you're really good the way you handle that. It's like a great musician, you know, at the piano.
Masterful.
Yeah.
Yes. And I wish at that very moment I came in and said, well, and this is what I was looking for, but I can't find it. So now I feel bad. But 86% chance of winning the presidency, and Donald Trump has 14%.
And that's the New York Times estimate.
Yes, this is the guesstimate.
If the election were held tomorrow.
I'm very worried that what we're going to see is that one morning we're going to wake up, it's going to be 86%, 88%, 86%, and then it's going to be 50-50 one morning when we wake up.
Well, that could be after the September, is it the 25th?
Oh, the debate.
Or whatever the date is. Yeah, the 23rd.
It's going to be one of the most watched events in the history of this country.
And some people are saying as long as Trump doesn't mess it up. If he just shows up, he's going to win unless he acts more like the previous Trump has acted.
Well, and there's still questions as to whether he's going to participate.
He said yesterday on the plane that he plans to participate
and
all
you
three.
Can take him at his word.
Yes, Joe. He says he's going to be there.
The article I read said that while he was pleased, he had input into the moderators, and because he was using that as an
leverage,
excuse to say as to who the moderators were. When the moderators were announced, he, I believe, then said, "But there's still things that need to be worked out." Like there was still the out there a little bit as to. But I don't know.
Right. So Lester Holt from NBC is the first one.
Yes.
And then Anderson Cooper and
Chris Wallace.
Chris Wallace is the third
and
one.
And then
right.
I think Martha Raddatz is doing the
with one of the
vice-presidential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, if I may, Joe, that we heard from Stephen. We have a lot of letters already, but we heard from Stephen who said, Dr. Shartok, that's spelled with a C, please. Please remember that the probability is that your reading are off base. Or no, excuse me. Please remember the probability that your reading are based off of potentially small margins that are consistent across polls. Thus, it is possible to have a tight race, but a high probability.
I
love to hear from smart guys.
Yeah, that's sort of what we said, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so we have about a minute, and I just want to end on the finish up on our discussion about Putin. So what should we be doing as a country? Harry Reid came out of a meeting this weekend saying he was very concerned. Both congressional and Senate leaders are very concerned by this. Obviously, the White House is concerned about this. So what do we do?
What can you do? You can use your own do unto them as they are doing unto you. And
I think that's being done.
Probably,
don't you?
Probably the case. But there's not much. Just let's all remember they have those nuclear things. You know what I mean? So the idea of any kind of aggravated war is really sort of out of the question, isn't it?
Well,
that's a question mark, isn't it?
I think the work needs to be done in this country, that there has to be education and awareness, and this investigation, I hope, is serious.
The other thing, too, though, is that we don't have a lot of time, right? We have 8 weeks till the election.
Right.
So
that is a lot of time. I mean, let's remember that the British do it in a month. And so we're saying,
I understand that. Yeah. What I'm talking about is then to do an entire investigation into Russian hacking, to come up with a counter plan and to keep the election, quote unquote, safe.
Joe, don't you think that there's a high probability, as we just heard, that they've done all of that already? I mean, the reason that Hillary's coming out, the reason that that Harry Reid is coming out and saying that they're all very disturbed about this is they seem to believe it. And I think that, you know, that means that they're getting briefed from our highest guys saying that the Russians are indeed doing this.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org is the address. Alan and Rosemary and Mike will all return right after the short break. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain. And we welcome your letters as well. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. And so we were talking a little bit about the president's trip. And so the two things we want to discuss, first of all, is Syria and the, as the president puts it, the gaps of trust with Russia, which are barring a Syrian truce, according to the president. And then there was the whole with the stairs on the plane China. In China. Mm. And then there was the with the Philippines.
it's unbelievable.
And the canceling of that meeting. So there was a lot going on this trip that perhaps was, not as planned.
And we're going to be talking today on the Vox Pop about a lot of the international scuffle, the kind of stuff you're talking about, and let people call and give their opinions on all of that. But I was just so fascinated listening to NPR and Aviv this morning about, was it, how do you pronounce his name, Duarte?
The prime minister.
Yes.
He comes in, he wins by a whisker, he wins by 40%. He now has 90%+ of the Philippine population in his corner because of his death to drug dealers.
Basically a hit squad. He's paying people to go out and kill drug dealers, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
You can see the appeal of that.
Oh, yeah.
Populist appeal. Wasn't he the guy that when he was running, they were comparing him to the Filipino Trump or something?
Yes.
Because he was just elected in June, right?
Just elected,
unbelievable comment. I mean, he wasn't the same as Trump. I mean, he made these unbelievable statements about a woman who had been raped and you know, why didn't you just shut up and enjoy it or some crazy thing like that.
So there was, in the translation, either referred to the president as a son of a bitch or a son of a whore. Is that correct?
Those are the two I saw.
Seemed to be.
I didn't know because NPR bleeped it this morning.
Oh.
We didn't. You got the whole truth here.
He actually said it in his
they
own
said the B
language.
Word.
Yes.
Yeah, and then said, okay, go report that. Sure. Yeah.
And they did.
And he's Castro-like in that once he starts, he keeps going. He keeps
but what
talking.
About this exit off the airplane? Was it in China when he showed up?
NPR did a big piece on that, yeah. And of course, it's not what it's made out to be.
I saw it on TV. He got handed roses. He just came down a different flight of
and
stairs.
And there was a red carpet and all that. The problem had to do with the stairs. The U.S. government wanted to bring stairs that are approved by the Secret Service that go everywhere. The Chinese said yes, but then at the last minute said no. You have to use our own stairs. And the security forces just fought over this. At the last minute, the Chinese said, okay, use your own stairs. But it was too late. The president was there on the tarmac. So they just brought him out through the belly of the plane. So it was like,
it's one of those silly little things that
this is why protocol
much more
is so
being
important.
Made out of than yeah. we probably need to.
I don't know. On the other hand, I think China may have been dissing the president, and he's a lame duck, and what he says does not matter at this point. Even our own Senate doesn't listen to him on the Supreme
well,
Court.
For
so they're waiting.
While.
Yeah, they're the Chinese and others are waiting to see. Whether it's Trump
well, are
or
the
Hillary.
Chinese trying to influence the outcome of a U.S. presidential election?
No, I think they're just not paying much attention to Obama.
That's right. Yeah.
But the question to me is, what is the correct diplomatic response to that? Trump said he would have packed up the stairs and gone back to the United States.
And not participated in the—
Yeah, would not have had anything to do with the—would have taught them, take all his toys and go home. That does not strike me as a really smart or diplomatic—
No,
or
the way a diplomat handles that is diplomatically.
It may be the right thing to say to the crowd that he's playing to. I mean, that's who Trump is. He wants white people. He wants I'm the strong man, and strong men win. And I don't like immigrants, and you don't like immigrants either, right, folks?
Well, he was certainly very strong when he met with the Mexican president. He was very
strong
and demanding,
right?
In that meeting, correct? Yes.
Well, we all know that. Yes, he told us so.
And then the president, meanwhile, as we get ready to move on here, but the president played down the confrontation and said that it was just a hiccup.
That is because Obama is a grown-up.
That's a diplomatic comment, though.
Exactly.
When you're dissed, you play it down. And when you say no, when you mean no, you say maybe. And when you mean maybe, you say yes. I mean, that's the way diplomacy
is. He's really terrific. Roselle and I went to the film. You know about the film? How Obama Met Mrs. Obama?
Right.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Was it good?
It was wonderful. You will love it. It is so different from the garbage you see in movies now. It was just a lovely little
I saw some
poem.
Clips. That's so no, it's really sweet.
Yeah. No tanks.
There were no tanks.
We veered into film criticism. I do not like
these two
love
wonderful
stories,
people
but...
met up. And what a lovely
I bet his teenage daughters hate that movie.
I bet they love it.
I bet they hate that movie.
No.
Your first date.
Although I did see in the paper this weekend that the number's probably wrong, but they've been offered $46 million worth of book deals.
Book deals, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Let's...
Maybe they'll start a foundation with it.
Maybe they'll both come on the Joe Donahue show. Yeah, right.
So let's do some letters, and then we'll move on to other stuff.
Okay. Let's see. wow, there's a lot of stuff going up in my neighborhood. So I'm reading it, getting through all of that. That's all wrong. We don't want that.
Okay.
So Joe N. Panel says, Matt, Fox just settled with Gretchen Carlson for $20 million. Fox is to make an apology. Source is New York Magazine. Allies continue to advise.
Oh, Ailes. Ailes.
Oh, so
yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't think Trump would make an apology.
However, New York Magazine, it appears that New York Magazine may be under a certain amount of pressure, legal pressure, because the guy who represented the wrestler is now representing
Hulk
the
Hogan.
The Aileses. So there you go.
Well, also the didn't this come a
very? He had hired Susan Estrich, the political.
Right, she was in the Clinton administration.
And she's good friends with Roger Ailes. I thought he had hired her, but he has enough money; he can hire all of them.
But the other thing too is this came out shortly after she taped. She had tape.
Right.
She had
spent a year secretly taping him every time he made one of his crude,
right.
disgusting
so she,
come on.
She
gathered
had,
the evidence.
She had the smoking gun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She apparently had been planning to file this suit. It was moved up when he let her go, when her contract was not extended. But there had been some talk at first about why'd she do it now? It's just sour grapes because she didn't keep her job. So
Lisa writes, no connection. There is no Trump connection to the Russians, and there is no evidence that the Russians have been involved in hacking our elections. The Democrats suppressed the vote during the Democratic primary, and no one speaks of that. I'm also not hearing about the Romanian gentleman, Guccifer, who was sentenced in recent days for hacking Hillary Clinton's unsecured private server. Obviously, we know about this for a while. We've known about this for a while because he was already sentenced. That's from Lisa.
Well, thank you, Lisa. We'll call off the FBI now that you've solved it. They can
go on
to
other
things.
credible sourced, sourced stories that say that the U.S. government takes it very seriously and has very hard evidence that the Russians, as opposed to collusion between Russia, between Putin and Trump, it's more of a bromance thing going on where they're saying nice things about each other in public. I don't know that it's anything more than that, but nobody's portrayed it differently.
Well, actually, they have. There are some intelligence people who have portrayed it as Putin, KGB man, as Alan points out, working Trump and winning him over. He's like a soft.
Oh, sure, but I don't think they're in collusion privately, you know, where they're planning new world order.
Anyway, Lou writes, good morning, panel. Does anyone recall McCarthyism in the 50s? Me. Looking for supposed communists in our country? Maybe not, because apparently it's okay for the Republican presidential candidate to admire Putin's thuggish tactics and encourage his interfering with our political process. Just saying. All right. And then Robert says, panel, Russia's hacking and other mischief is unfortunate, but it should not be surprising that Putin would take some retaliatory actions in response to NATO accepting Latvia and Lithuania into its ranks. Losing its old buffer states to a military alliance it perceives as hostile was bound to lead to some kind of blowback. No one?
All right.
Nope.
Okay, there is silence, so we will let everyone regain their thoughts for a moment. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with letters. We'll continue with other topics. And we'll keep going this morning, Tuesday morning, on the Roundtable and our panel. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from The Mount, Lenox, Massachusetts, presenting a poetry reading with Billy Collins on September 9th, edithwharton.org. Curtis Lumber, providing home improvement products and advice to homeowners and contractors, supporting local communities for over a century. CurtisLumber.com. University at Albany, offering a weekend MBA program for 22 months, including an international trip. 518-956-8330. And Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses including Bevel, Lafont, and Pro Design. Progressive lenses from Verilux and Nikon. And Maui Jim, Costa, and Ray-Ban Sunglasses. Sheehy Opticians.com.
Thank you.
have questions from listeners wondering if the bumper music is Alan and the Ramblers. Not that we know of, right?
I like that music.
Yeah, it's very
really
nice.
I like that music.
Good,
yeah, good, yeah, yeah.
Great ragtime music.
Bill wants to know, says, Snowden, I wonder if investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo would prefer not to know the things that Edward Snowden revealed. Does she think it's important for citizens to know any of these things? Does she disagree with the many journalists who say that Obama administration is the most closed and inaccessible administration anyone can remember?
No, Rosemary Armeo totally thinks he's a hero. I totally think he should be absolved. It's one of my complaints with Hillary that she would not just pardon him. I'm totally in favor of transparency. I'm not quite sure what inspired that. I think he is being used as a pawn I think he is being used as a pawn by Putin, but
well,
that has nothing to do with
Putin
what he did.
Smartly give him, sanctuary.
Yeah, yeah. I think he used that, and that has nothing to do. That's on the United States, which you just let him back in, and treat him like the whistleblower that
he
really
up like
is.
Daniel Ellsberg, he'd be exonerated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we had too long a letter from Barbara. It should be about a third of that. But good morning, folks. Listening to you while I have my morning tea. Love the show. If Trump wins the presidency and the Republicans in the House and Senate, I believe it will drastically change America because the House and Senate will be pulling his Trump strings. After all, look at how a Republican House and Senate has caused many of the problems we face today. And the next time you have to write the whole letter in that sort of time. You know what I mean? Maybe not. Nurse Lapani says, hi, folks. When I worked in psych, we would sometimes be amazed that someone who was quite terribly disturbed was able to convince a judge that he or she should no longer be hospitalized. We came to the conclusion that they only needed to pull it together for the 15 minutes it took for the hearing. I think this is Trump's 15 minutes. It's frightening.
Where will that be at the debates? Does it?
And John says, hi, panel. In order to have the standing to challenge the Russian government's corruption, we must clean up our own house. I will say the same of our allies. The former Ukraine prime minister and maiden revolution darling now ousted for corruption. Putin has done nothing but use our own flaws and systematic weaknesses as leverage in his own campaign.
I think that's true. That's why I think to combat him must happen in the United States with better education and involving young people in the process. And I don't know, Rex Smith had a column this week about if you don't like the politicians who are running, why aren't you running? Not a bad idea.
No.
Panel. Never mind Manchuria. Perhaps Putin has found his, quote, political weapon in Trump by turning his head with praise to point him where he wishes. Bonnie.
Yep.
All right. Good morning, Roundtable. Dr. Shump, risky candidate, T-C-H-U-M-P. Good morning, Roundtable. There are many risks about an authoritarian character as sadistic, excessively narcissistic, malignantly aggressive, and avengeably destructive as Donald Trump. What could happen with an aggressive, destructive, and authoritarian individual like Trump as president of the United States? What would a foreign domestic policy governed by a malignantly aggressive leader look like? And so on and so forth. We read that already. James says, it's always a great honor to be so nicely complimented by a man who is so highly respected within his own country and beyond. That's in quotes. And it's Donald Trump's statement on Putin, December 2015. Comment, says Ren. You guys sound a lot like skewy, screwy, one-sided U.S. propaganda gaggle. Re Putin, Assange, Snowden,
Thank
Ukraine.
You.
As if the arrogant, aggressive, obnoxious, and savagely disingenuous policy goals of our parasitic military happen in a vacuum. Wise up. Thankfully, you're anti-Trump. Not everybody, maybe. We don't know. I don't know. I don't know how my colleagues are voting. P.S. I otherwise live for WAMC. And then Corey says, so let me get this straight. Putin is doing to the U.S. government what the U.S. government through the CIA routinely does to other countries, including Russia. I am not a Trump supporter. But isn't it good to have a president who's willing to speak to a man like Putin instead of go to war? Democrats are now the war party. Truly a bizarre season. Corey.
Truly a bizarre
Wait
season.
Wait a minute. Night. Hillary has actually spoken to him, unlike Trump, who has just never met him, although he lied about it. So...
No, sorry. Did he lie about him never meeting him, or did he lie about him meeting him? Because I thought there was some...
He lies about everything, oh. So it's hard to
There was
to
some
tell.
Dispute about his past connections to Putin, right?
He's never actually met him face-to-face, as I understand it.
They run 60 Minutes.
Together, yes.
In two different segments, filmed in different cities.
It was confusing when he said it, yeah. Yes.
Right, okay.
All right, so two other topics we want to get to before we head off here. One is the question about, well, not a question, but the president has spoke out yesterday about the Colin Kaepernick controversy and said that the San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick is exercising his constitutional right not to stand for the national anthem. Obama made his comment during a news conference Monday in China, where he is attending a meeting of the group of 20 countries. Kaepernick has said he is refusing to stand during the national anthem to bring attention to what he considers failings in the U.S.'s treatment of racial minorities. The president said he hasn't paid close attention to Kaepernick's protest, but he added that he has no doubt that Kaepernick is sincere and cares about some real, legitimate issues that have to be talked about.
I'm glad that we're getting a second chance at this one. When we talked about it when it first happened, when he first didn't stand, we kind of just all said, well, it's brave and it's good. But the criticism against him isn't that he did it, isn't that he was disrespectful, as if any protest is respectful, but that he was doing it as kind of a boost to his career, which is lagging, that he's had a lackluster season and that this now he's suddenly in the headlines again. So if that is true, that would be pretty awful. That's pretty sinister and cynical, to use a protest like that that's important for your own benefit. Obama was right. He did it artfully. He said, well, yeah, it's his right to do it. It isn't very successful if he is, because once you disrespect the flag, anybody in uniform is not going to listen to your deeper message.
Well, it could be. You know, there are an awful lot of people, females, males, who are kneeling instead of...
I don't get that. What's the kneeling represent?
Well, I think it just means I'm not going to stand for this.
I'm not sure.
What's the difference between sitting
it?
And kneeling?
I mean,
I don't get that.
It's an act of respect, stand perhaps, too. But I mean, celebrities, whether it's athletes or actors or any other kind of celebrity, often use their own positions to promote political points of view, and I think that's what's going on here. I thought Obama talked about it very articulately. I mean, he understood. He didn't really embrace it. Someone will probably accuse him of something.
Hating the country.
Hating the country.
He hates police.
But we are a country of pluralism, and we have a right of freedom of speech, and that's his right.
I really admired Obama for coming forth. I the more I see this guy, the more I admire. I mean, you know, it takes some guts to say things like this, and he did it. So Rosemary, yes, it's possible. Anything's possible. Motivation, everybody can be examined for their own motivation. But if you take the totality of what they've done and you examine it and say, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I think that's quite different than if you say, well, he's just doing it to advance his
own
career.
But we're not talking about Black Lives Matters or police treatment of minorities. We're talking about standing or not for the national anthem.
No, I don't agree with
that. Which is a bad song.
No, I don't agree with that. I think what he was saying was, I don't like the way people are being treated. And therefore, I'm not going to stand up and salute a system which is treating people badly. And then it does get into Black Lives Matter and everything else.
Well, the question is whether this helps or hurts the cause, because it's a distraction now.
Yeah. Right. That's well put.
But how could it possibly hurt the cause?
Well, that people hold it against him and don't want to have the conversation that needs to be had.
It gives credence to the idea that Black Lives Matter is some sort of domestic terrorism, that they're anti-police and that they're racist because it should be all lives matter. All that stuff, which I don't believe at all, gets some credence when you can attack a football player who doesn't stand for the national anthem.
We have just about 4 minutes, and I just want to get into the final topic about newspapers. And I thought this was an interesting story in the New York Times, that when I'll read directly. One day, many decades hence, when your grandchildren ask you, Grandma, what was a newspaper? You can direct them back to Wednesday, September 7th, 2016, because it may well go down as the day the American newspaper, as we've known it, moved out of intensive care and into the palliative wing on its way to the great beyond. The Newspaper Association of America, the trade group that has represented the interests of major newspapers and publishers in one form or another since 1887, is going to drop from its name the very word that defined it. Newspaper. The group will now be known as the News Media Alliance,
and it's damn near about time too. but I have to say, we've all talked about this. We've talked about it on the Media Project again and again. Look, you take a look at the graph. We see what's happening there. Just newspapers are falling. There are alternative methodologies, like the Berkshire Eagle, which has been bought by some people. Most of whom are very good people and want to see it. And want to see it continue. There are ways that some of these will survive, but we're going to look at new modalities. I mean, I read the Times.
Well, I think in the short and midterm, we are in deep trouble because we have not found a replacement for investigative reporting, which was supported for the past 120 years by metropolitan big city newspapers that could pay for what it costs.
But don't you think
there's no replacement for it?
Don't you think there will be?
Well, in the process, a painful process and a painful transition, what will be lost in that? And I think what we're already losing is a lot of local news coverage because organizations don't have the
it's gone.
They're not coming into the schools. You're not seeing the kids being trained now who'll pick it up when the mechanisms change.
We had several great interns this summer, and most of them are looking into different kinds of careers. They're not looking at just straight news reporting, which is the bread and butter.
What
of,
are they looking
of
at,
newspaper.
Mike?
Public relations, kind of something
advocacy
in social
work.
Media. I'm
new
not really
media.
Sure.
New media.
Whatever
you
that
hear that
means.
A lot. Yeah.
But, you know, this name change, I really wouldn't make too much of it. AT&T used to stand for American Telephone and Telegraph,
right.
And they dropped that, you know.
KFC.
Right, KFC, whatever that means.
A&P.
It
what
isn't Kentucky
mean
Fried
well,
Chicken
Kentucky,
anymore.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, but they want to take fried out of it.
So
they
what
just
is
call
it
KFC.
Right, because fried is, you know.
It was one of the questions on the New York Times health quiz this week.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that Americans don't want to hear, and it's fried.
Fried.
That's right. It's pejorative. But news,
fried
you
Trump.
Know, the American Society of News Editors is formerly the American Society of Newspaper Editors because people come from a broader area. And even New York State's News Publishers Association used to be New York State's Newspaper Publishers Association. All we're doing is recognizing that the business we're in is much broader than printing a sheet and handing it out to people at their front door. That's still a big part of it. It's a big portion of it, but we're also
I'm a dinosaur.
Covering the news.
We're dead, and I don't think that people are reading news.
But more
my
people are reading
are not.
The Times.
We're out of time. We have to end there, but thank
well,
you.
On the air than they are on their newspaper.